Hey, everybody, before we start the show, just a quick shout out to let you know that Summer 03 is in theaters now. If you're in New York and LA, it stars myself, Joey King, June Squibb, Andrea Savage. The movie basically is about a young girl who is told by a grandmother on her deathbed that the secret to life is learning how to give a proper blowjob. And then shit gets crazy from there. Summer of 03, I'm in it. It's super fun. Check it out wherever you see theaters or wherever you see movies in New York and LA. People, I have told you this from the beginning of this podcast. If you have an idea that you want to turn into a reality, the only and best way to do it is with Squarespace. Squarespace makes it easy for you to launch your own passion project. Whether you're showcasing your work or selling products of any kind, they have beautiful templates and the ability to customize just about anything. You can easily make a beautiful website yourself. And if you do get stuck, Squarespace has 24/7 award-winning customer support. They are there to help. Paul, how do you know that I'll be happy with Squarespace? Well, goddammit, I'll tell you. I made 3 websites on this thing, and I love them all. I made hdtgminfo.com. Check it out. It looks amazing. I made paulshear.com, and I made unspooledpod.com. All on Squarespace because of the ease and the functionality. And you know what? Because I don't have time to get in and do all that coding bullshit. I can just put it up, make it look good, make a placeholder, get on it. People, we're defined by our presence online. So let Squarespace help you out. Head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. That's B-O-N-K-E-R-S. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. People, I want to tell you about a show that I absolutely love. It is called The Good Place. It is critically acclaimed. People love the show, especially me. I go around telling people about it. I don't want to spoil a thing for you, okay? But if you've not been watching Good Place, it is the most inventive, comedically fun show on TV. The Good Place essentially is forking killing it. And if you don't even get that reference, it means get on it now. You can watch it on Netflix to catch up. But let me tell you, it's back already for the 3rd season with a 1-hour premiere. Holy shirt balls. Don't miss the 1-hour premiere of TV's most dangerous comedy, The Good Place, followed by an SUV 2-hour premiere event Thursday, September 27th at 8, 7 Central on NBC. People, this is not the ad talking. This is Paul Scheer talking. I love this show. You will love it too. If you love things like Lost, it's a mystery. It's great. Ted Danson's wonderful in it. Jason is in it. And you never know who might pop up this season. No spoilers there. But check out The Good Place Thursday, September 27th at 8, 7 Central on NBC. And catch up before that happens on Netflix. You are going to love it. It's The Godfather 2 of talking baby films. We saw Look Who's Talking Too, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while ripping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Ran the games of Street Fighter, helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado the Birdemic, how we staying alive. They calling in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid, June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello people of Earth, and hello people of Denver. We are live at the Paramount Theater in Denver, Colorado, at the High Plains Comedy Festival. And hopefully, we will have enough oxygen to do this show. This is much higher than we're used to. We passed out walking up the stairs to get onto stage. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're here to talk about an important movie. A movie that changed culture. A movie that really showed us what babies thought. And it's disturbing. Tonight we are talking about the sequel, not even the first one, the sequel. They had so much, they had to put it in a second packet. And it was worth it every step of the way. Look Who's Talking To. And to join me tonight to talk about this movie is my co-host, Jason Manzoukas!
What's up, jerks? What's up, Denver? How we doing? All right, what's going on, balcony? You, oh, balcony's already on fire. These guys are ready to rock.
Welcome.
Paul, I was just told backstage that the Alamo Drafthouse did a double feature of both of these movies tonight.
Yes.
This past week, who saw that show? Yeah.
Alamo Drafthouse really helped us out. We appreciate them. And we are sorry. We're sorry for that double feature. We have to watch them. You don't. Jason,
Paul?
I have not revisited this movie in a long time. I remember
Wait. So you've seen this before?
Oh, yeah. This is like
This is my inaugural watching of any of these movies.
What?
I have questions.
Okay. Well, I will quickly say that if you are unfamiliar with Look Who's Talking, the first one, Christy Alley is a pregnant woman who gets in the back of a cab driven by John Travolta. She is giving birth, and then they're inexplicably linked.
That is not his son?
No.
Wow! That is wild. That is wild. Oh my God. This adds a whole new element to the movie that I just watched.
But what's great about it is you don't need that backstory. You can just jump right in and it feels great because you know what? He loves him as much as his own son. I almost hesitate to talk more about this before introducing my other co-host. Who's gonna have a lot to say tonight? Please welcome June Diane Raphael. Welcome, June.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good. Are you having a nice time in Denver?
Yes.
Excellent. June, are you familiar with the Look Who's Talking series?
I thought I was. I'm shocked by this piece of information. Breaking news.
Right? That's huge.
That is huge. And honestly, the entire movie
I hate to do this to you, June.
Go ahead.
There's a motherfucking baby right there.
There's a tiny baby
right there. The baby is... Can you hold up the baby, please? Can you hold up the baby? The baby is wearing headphones.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I've been asking a long time. At some point, I'm going to want to hold that baby on stage. I've said it before. Give us your babies.
I believe what that baby is probably thinking right now is, bunch of douchebags.
I think the baby's probably thinking, I'm listening to WTF.
Now listen, so I've been away. Okay, so heading into this movie, we have a lot to unpack, obviously. But heading into this movie, I was concerned because I've been away from my own children for about a week. I've been traveling. So I was scared that this movie would trigger something in me. I love babies. I love children so much. And after watching, and I was worried to watch this by myself in a hotel room. After this movie,
Why?
I thought, because I
oh,
thought it was going
that.
To
yeah,
tug
yeah,
at my
yeah,
heartstrings.
Yes.
I do not want any more children. I don't want my own children. I don't think I like children.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? From now on, when you are home with your children, just in the home, both of you, will you be wondering what they're thinking and imagining it in the voices of Bruce Willis and Roseanne Barr?
Well, here's the... Okay, so you bring up a good point. The most troubling thing about this movie is that Mikey... can speak.
Yes.
Yes.
Mikey is on the verge of potty training, which, if you go, I guess the middle ground would be about 2 years old is about a potty training.
I want to talk about the rules of this movie a lot. Who can hear who? Who is talking and who is thinking? Who is answering? Are these babies telepathic? Because at times it appears they are.
I believe they are telepathic to each other. The first movie, I think, was a lot more like the inner thoughts of a baby. And this one, they were like, let's blow it out. So much so that this opening, I mean, look, the opening scene, Jen and I watched this together, and I could only say, oh boy, when the opening scene was this, the TriStar Picture logo, the horse running to do a catapult, and this is what you hear.
Oh yeah. Why did this happen?
And I got wings and I'm flying. TriStar Pictures, where anything can happen.
So, also, the horse can talk.
Well, that's Mr. Ed. That's Mr. Ed, isn't it?
No, that's just them going like, horses and here's another thing that talks.
Oh, I wrote.
Here's my problem. Okay. But here's the thing. Mikey can talk.
Yes.
Right.
And Mikey's mouth moves.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time.
Right? And you know he would be saying things like, no, or mine, or whatever. But instead, you're hearing him say wildly cogent thoughts in the voice of Bruce Willis.
And
but then also be like, what's a toilet?
But to your point, what are people hearing Mikey say?
Yes.
Well, because Mikey is talking, like, if you look at Mikey, it's like a foreign film. His lips are moving.
Yes.
But no sound is coming out.
Okay, so here's where I freaked out. When Mikey and the character that Damon Wayans voices are talking,
yes.
Right? All of their, because if it's like, okay, I'm hearing the inner thoughts of this child. Okay, cool. Maybe cool. I get that. This is a scene where they're having an active conversation the way adults would about putting your pee-pee in the toilet and how the toilet eats your pee-pee and your poo-poo and your ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, okay? But it's all thought. It's all in the internal voices, but they are answering each other back and forth. And I was like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Well, I also had an issue with that scene, too, because this is a baby that, in the scene before, was learning the difference between penis and vagina.
Yes.
And then goes, hey, look, you can see up that girl's skirt.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a big learning curve and then baby jumped.
The Damon Wayans character is like, yeah, me and her play doctor. I was like, what the fuck? Gilbert Gottfried,
like,
get control of this jimboree.
I didn't like that at all.
I mean, there's a more disturbing element of that right in the beginning when you're watching the sperm race past the diaphragm.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is this movie rated?
That's a great question.
X. It's rated no thanks for me. This movie
PG-13.
Is as if...
PG-13.
PG-13. It is as if... It is as if two reels came in to an editor, and he was like, oh, I'm cutting two movies right now. One of them is this wacky movie where you hear the internal thoughts of kids, and one of them is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, starring Kirstie Alley and John Travolta. It is a harrowing tale of a marriage that is not working. These people hate each other. They swear at each other constantly, and then it cuts to like, and then the toilet eats your pee-pee and your poo-poo. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on right here?
I mean, do they hate each other though? Like, we were about 40 minutes in where I said, Paul, I don't see a plot.
I see
an assortment of scenes strung together.
Like, what would you say the plot is? Because I said, well, I think the plot is using the toilet. That, like the
Paul
baby...
Paul said, this is a movie about potty training.
Wait, what?
Because that had the strongest
An hour and a half movie about potty training.
A feature film about potty training.
That the B story is about the disintegration of the American marriage.
Okay, I need to talk about this movie because the first movie comes out, Look Who's Talking, which that baby saw in the theater, and it's a huge hit. So much so that this movie is in production. Not like Greenlit, in production 9 months later. Like,
nine months.
But they literally slam this next one into production, and I think that's why the movie feels so weird, because all of a sudden, the first movie, John Travolta is a cab driver. She's an accountant, reading her accountant magazines. But, which is like a specific from the worst improv scene.
There is so much accountant talk. It's not
honestly,
like,
there was so much that at one point I was like, you should be looking into Scientology and them claiming themselves as a church and writing writing stuff off.
The scene where she, her friend, and her brother, I could talk about the brother character conservatively, like honestly, cancel the second show. I will just talk about the brother character and the music in this movie.
Oh.
Okay, now I'm like...
But the scene where they are sitting around on a Saturday night just talking accounting?
They all three are doing three different tax returns. And by the way, the brother shows no sign of being a traditional accountant at all.
Oh,
he looks like a guy who is like maybe got out of the psych ward.
Yes. Oh, no, when John Travolta says it's like he's like Travis Bickle, in one of the conservatively 2 million pop culture references inexplicable to this movie, you are like, yes, he is like Travis Bickle. He is. It's as if you took Robert De Niro out of Taxi Driver and put him into this movie. The fact that he pulls a gun 6 times in the movie, and then it's like necessary at the end for him to pull a gun. What?
Pulling the gun is the meet cute of that character,
yes,
with his love interest. Like, how did you meet? Oh, he pulled a gun on me.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, is he the father of Mikey?
No, we
who
do
is
know.
Mikey's father?
Wait, we do know the father of
Mikey.
Are
you suggesting that Mikey is the product of incest?
All I know is she is very forgiving of that brother.
She is in love with her brother.
That's what I'm saying. Who is Mikey's dad?
Well, Mikey's dad is in the first movie. She catches him cheating on her, and then they get back together, and then she catches him cheating on her again. He's like, you know, just like some blando white dude that they, you know, that's what happens in the first movie.
I would love a sequel that focuses on him, because what you're saying is that this whole movie exists with an absentee father.
I'm shocked.
Oh, yeah.
There's
I'm shocked.
In New York City, who has a son who's 2 years old, who's learning to use the toilet, and this guy is like zero involvement?
Because what it explains
80s. Now is John Travolta's resentment toward Kirstie Alley.
Yes.
And his wanting a lot more credit that I think he did not deserve. But now I'm like, okay, he did step up on some level. I haven't seen the first movie. But there was a lot of resentment and a lot of anger toward her.
I will say
for
that
just stating the facts, which is you don't make money. You know, I'm just plainly spoken, you don't make money. That's okay, but you just don't.
I just want to clarify one thing, just so you guys can have it in your mind. The father of Mikey, the legitimate father, is George Segal.
George Segal?
Yes.
Oh, wow. From yeah. Who's Afraid of Virginia
Who's
Woolf?
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Kaboom! Give me that baby.
To this end, the point I was trying to make earlier was this movie is rushed into production, and I feel like they just let everyone go and do whatever they want, because in the first movie, Travolta is a cab driver. In the second one, he flies planes for fun?
That's what I was going to ask.
And that's what John Travolta does, so much so that the plane in the movie is John Travolta's plane. Like, that he's just like, yeah, I'll just use my own plane. But it's like the story that they're telling of a cab driver and an accountant ceases to be based in reality when he's like, oh yeah, and he also has this jet, like, he also has his own jet private lessons that he's doing.
So he's no longer a cab driver. He is basically...
He is a cab driver. Because
in this one?
Yeah, because Paul Schaefer is in his cab, remember? From David Letterman.
He starts off as a cab driver.
Oh, did I miss that?
He starts off as a cab driver. She gets him a job as a private pilot.
Yeah, but I could...
Which is basically a cab driver for planes.
Yeah,
she's like,
a cab driver for the
You're
skies.
So good.
And is that how it works? If you can drive one of these, you can drive one of those.
He says at one point when talking about the job, which seemingly is being a lot more than a cab driver, like he's like, you can't even, I'm on call all the time, you can't even take vacations. I'm like, someone needs to explain to him how vacations work. Like, you could just say, I'm on vacation this week, you're not just on call. Like, it's not like, he was like living a life of being like some sort of like airplane slave. Like, you know, it's like... You've given your life to the Lear company.
I think the way his job worked, or my assumption, was that he was flying a private jet for like one, you know, fat cat in New York City. And so he was on call for this person whenever...
And he was flying, but also pouring them coffee because...
Yes!
So, okay. So I think my knowledge of private jets is
limited. Okay.
But I do think there are some private jets where there's no... there are no flight attendants. So the pilots do come out and take care of the...
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Passengers.
All right. I have a couple of quick questions.
Go ahead.
One, when they buy the kid the toilet and are explaining to him that it's for poop and pee...
Yes.
It's as if they've never talked about poop or pee ever. He's like, when you gotta take a
piss...
Hello? Uh-oh. He's like, when you gotta take a piss, and she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he's like, have they never had a conversation with a two-year-old about, like, stuff? Like, well, and how it comes out?
Here's what, well, yeah, that whole sequence and what they do with that potty was so disturbing.
And never is used again.
No.
It's not a training potty at all.
It's almost like they did everything with that object, but show him what to actually do with it.
Yeah.
They wore it as a hat. They, like, used it as, like, a hula hoop. Like, the kid is confused.
I'll be honest.
Rightfully so.
That's how a fetish is created. That's how a fetish is created, where you're like, wait, what are you into? I'm into you putting a toilet seat on my head and you taking a real deuce on me because that's what my mommy and daddy told me this is like. And we gotta sing songs while we do it.
And Jason, I know... you're not a parent, but use the appropriate word, dump, as John Travolta uses to his 2 years. Yeah, well, you gotta take a dump or a piss. You know, get your dick to be full of that liquid. You know,
kid. What it is? What it is they're talking to Mikey as if he's a kid that doesn't understand words still. I understand maybe they would say that in the first movie when it's truly a, like, I'm assuming a newborn baby. But at this point, he can understand a lot of what they're saying.
We're parents.
And he can speak.
Yes. But we don't ever hear him speak. Right?
No.
Oh, no, we do. We do.
He says...
popcorn.
And
popcorn.
He says penis.
And he says penis and no penis.
Which, and that was an odd...
A problematic way to describe women. It's just no penis.
I see some nice-looking no penises in the crowd tonight.
Penis, no... But by the way, this movie also had an odd fascination with, like, taking shots at Dan Quayle. Like, in the IRS office, she has a large... framed picture of Dan Quayle behind her. Now, I understand that if you were the president, you would have a picture in a federal office, but not the vice president doesn't get a picture. And then Dan Quayle's in the magazine, is like, penis or vagina? And he's like, I don't know. And they're like, nailed it. Like, I guess. I mean, like, Dan Quayle was dumb. I don't think it was ever a question of, like,
I don't know.
It seemed like the wrong shot to take.
I like that they also take, like, just shots at Sylvester Stallone, at
so
Schwarzenegger. They just are, like, the pop culture references are constant and weird. Like, and the songs. Like, did the Beastie Boys license a song for this movie? How did they use John Lennon and George Harrison? So what's going on?
I don't know.
Hey, everybody, we have to take a brief break in the show to hear a word from our sponsors. And the first sponsor is going to be me. That's right. I have a brand new movie with Chance the Rapper, Zazie Beetz, Joe Keery from Stranger Things. It's called Slice. It's available wherever you can get your streaming movies, for rental or for purchase. It's a big midnight movie, B-movie, kind of like Repo Man meets Scooby-Doo meets David Lynch. Definitely check that out. And if you're in New York or in L.A., go check out Summer 03, which is a movie that I'm in with the hilariously funny Joey King, Andrea Savage, and June Squibb. It's in New York and L.A. right now. Definitely go check it out. People are always asking me, Paul, what do you sleep on? And I tell them straight ahead, it's none of your goddamn business. But for you, our podcast listeners, I'll tell you what I sleep on because I want to share it with the whole world, okay? I sleep on a Casper mattress because Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience. One night at a time, one night at a time with Casper. All right, they got three mattress models. You got the original, you got the wave, you got the essential. These mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. I was in a fancy hotel, a beautiful hotel. Oh, the bed there was great, but you know what? Not as good as my Casper mattress at home. Why? Because, I don't know, they got this breathable design that helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Yeah, this shit is next level, okay? Plus, it's delivered right to your door in a small, like, how do they fit a mattress in here kind of package. And you get free shipping and returns in the USA and Canada. And the best part is you can be sure of your purchase because Casper has a 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. If you sleep on this fucker for 100 nights and you don't like it, send it back. They don't care. They want you to be comfortable. This is the clarion call that we've been waiting for. We need a mattress that supports us for a price that is affordable. I love this mattress. I love unboxing it. I wish I could unbox a mattress every week just because I'd like to see it explode like that. It was like one of those like dinosaurs that you put in water and the pill explodes and you got a dinosaur sponge. It's really cool. Anyway, get $50 towards any select mattress by visiting Casper.com/how and use HOW at checkout. That's Casper.com/how. Offer code HOW for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. People, do you have an idea that you want to make into a reality? Is that something that anyone ever asks? No, they don't. But do people say, hey, do you have a website? Yes, you do. If you need a website, you're looking for a place to sell your wares, your personality, your artwork, your whatever, your thoughts, Squarespace is the best place to do it. Why? Because they have amazing design templates that make you look like you actually know what you're doing and you have no idea. We know that you don't have any idea because if you have ideas, you are a website designer. But if you're just like me, you're just like, I want to make a website. I got to make a presence online. So I just kind of open up a thing. I've done it for HDTGM Info. That's our How Did This Get Made site. I've done it for PaulShear.com. I've even done it for UnspooledPod.com. It's great. And why do I keep on coming back and back again? It's not because they're giving it to me for free. No, I pay for this shit. I love it because you can actually track who's on your website. You can get everything optimized. So I'm looking on my phone. It looks just as good as when I look on my laptop. They have millions of people. They got 24/7 customer support that helps you. It's award winning too. When I had trouble, I go right to them. So head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers. That's BONKERS to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. Offer code bonkers. And now back to the show.
I would like to spend some time talking about the production design of that apartment.
Yes! You mean the $6 million spent on neon and baby doll heads?
Baby... I just want to say one thing, and then I want to get to the apartment. Just to give you an idea. The reason why they got the rights to all these songs is the first movie, it cost $7 million to make the first movie. It made $297 million in 1989. This movie is the biggest thing ever. It made $300 million in 1989.
Wait, that's the first one?
That's why they're getting like the Beastie Boys and George Harrison, because it's like, this is a cultural phenomenon. Like this movie, like movie tickets were $5 and it made $300 million. Just okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Apartment.
But why not put some of that money into the design of that apartment? The apartment is bright pink with accents of orange. There, at one point I saw a blue basket hanging on
Against the wall.
Okay, against the door, Jason, into against the kitchen from the outside. What is that basket? Is it to cover a peephole?
I thought it was a place where you get your laundry. Like, you're, we're going to go out and get the laundry in the hallway, and
but
I'll
Paul,
use
it. It's not hung up as a basket. It's hung up.
It's upturned and again.
I'm going to be honest. You cannot place anything in it.
That basket was decorative. That basket, that was a non-functioning basket. It wasn't, that's not its resting place when it's not being used. That's where it lives.
Okay, well then.
Because here's the thing, June, what you have to understand is that there are no room for baskets in the apartment because they have to make room for doll heads. Not dolls, but doll heads. Everywhere you go, doll heads looking at you. This was chilling.
And what's odd about the apartment and the doll heads and the neon and everything that is faux creative is she is a wonk, like an accountant wonk that seemingly has no creative instincts, and he's a taxi driver. So who's decorating? Like, if it was the friend, I'd buy her maybe to come in and do it. But there's nothing about either of their personalities.
She's an accountant too. Kooky friend is an accountant too.
I was going to say, maybe it's the brother, but he's an accountant too.
Well, I mean, like, what is this? What New York is this?
I don't know.
Everybody's an accountant except for John Travolta, who's a taxi cab driver / pilot. What?
And we also, and I have to say this too, because as we're talking about the apartment, I have structural problems with the apartment, not just the decorations. We've all lived in New York City. Jason, June, have you ever lived in an apartment where one door is here, and then 2 feet over is another door, both leading to the same exact hallway?
There's one door from the outside hallway of the apartment building that leads into the kitchen. There's another doorway just less than a foot away that leads into the living room hallway.
There's no reason for two doors that close.
Yeah.
I got to go back to the basket for one more second. So you're saying that basket is up there as an accent piece
for the
oh
door.
Oh, my God.
I can see no other function for it.
Oh, my God. That has really taken my breath away.
Yeah. No, there is, like, every time we would get shots of the apartment, like, luxurious shot there. There it is. Right back there. Okay. I think it's the same as the plate, right? It's the same as the plate to the left. By the way, what are those two doors? I know,
plates are known as, like, you can put a plate up as an accent.
I agree. I think this movie posits a world in which you can also put baskets up in the same way you put plates up.
If you told me that the set designer of Pee-wee's Playhouse lived in this apartment, I would say makes perfect sense.
Also, a very strange place to put the spice rack.
As you open the door.
Inconvenient for where you want a spice rack near where you're cooking, I think. What's going on back there?
Is there a shot of the lamp? The, like, crazy lizard lamp?
Describe it.
I couldn't quite see, but it looked like a creature.
Do you remember where the lizard lamp is?
It's in her bedroom.
The scenes inside her womb are the stuff of nightmares. The scene where I was like, am I watching a baby die as part of this movie? No offense, baby. Give me that baby. Am I watching currently the death of an infant as a plot point of a movie about kids? This is crazy.
I mean, that baby in the womb is the puppet.
Yeah.
It is like something out of, like, it looks like Watto from Total Recall, which was a character that lived in someone's belly. It's like, bleh. It really is an upsetting thing. I'm trying to get a good still of the lizard lamp. It's a little hard.
Oh, there's so much in this movie. I'm not lying. There is so much in this movie.
Here's the lizard lamp, I think. I'm trying to get to it.
Like, I want to know. Here's the
it's
thing.
It's on her side of the bed.
I is that the lizard lamp?
We'll find out later.
The sex scene is... I love the vocal reaction from the audience was like, ugh. The sex scene at the beginning is so gross. And then it's like, is the kid listening?
Do you want to get a little insight on why they have such good sex scenes and good chemistry? This is taken from Good Morning America, where they are
kind
of...
Hang on. Before you push play, I want to say something right now. You're telling me the walls of this apartment are white?
Wait a second. Whoa.
Stop the clock.
Wait, hold on. This is from the first movie.
Oh.
So between the first and second movie, they painted that apartment pink and orange?
But they kept that painting of a crane.
Yes.
But they threw away the painting of the woman, which I actually genuinely like.
Is the
basket up?
They couldn't find...
Tell.
I don't know. We don't have that much.
Oh, show us a basket!
This is not the first movie. This is just a clip from Good Morning America where they played this clip. So it's not going to give you the basket. I'm sorry. But this will give you an insight on their chemistry. Take a listen.
When you went to kiss me the first time, I turned into Barbara Streisand.
I know, he wouldn't stay serious. You know when you do a kissing scene, it's hard to not.
Romantic.
And he would start being, what would he say, Papa, can you...
Papa, can you hear me?
That! And I go, John, I have to kiss you. Like he goes, and it would be serious, and you'd look at me, so handsome. You'd come in for the kiss, and then...
Papa, can you hear me?
Papa, can you hear me?
Okay,
anyway,
that would be distracting in a romantic
scene. That
scene
took 2 days to shoot.
Their chemistry...
So that's just...
Ooh, look, basket! Wait. It's a
round basket!
There's a round basket on the door.
They upgraded baskets in between movie one and movie two.
Wait, this is movie one, you're saying,
this is
right?
movie one.
Yeah. That's wild.
So do you think they were like, oh, we have to paint the nursery pink. Let's just do the whole apartment?
I don't know. The apartment... I also didn't understand there was like a neon sign that said like loves...
Bras?
Louvet. It's like got an accent aigu on it though, which I guess would make it Louvet bras. Give me that baby. But what I keep wondering is there was so much neon. Well, I guess it was... it's kind of the 80s when like people would be like, well, I guess half of my apartment is going to have like a neon clock and a neon this.
But what was so weird about the apartment, it's like, yes, there's that neon thing over the fireplace, but then there's also like wicker chairs. You know, there and obviously baskets on
There's so much
doors.
Swearing. Oh. So much swearing in this movie and at each other. You know, fuck you, fuck you. And I'm like, what is going on? Why?
I will argue that there's two things that I found confusing. One, there's long periods of time where the babies are just not in it. Like, you're like, I haven't seen a baby scene in a long time. I'm just seeing, like, casual conversation. And then I also feel like they, I don't know what my second point was.
Well, I was waiting for a long time for another baby to appear.
Oh.
Because.
What do you mean?
I thought on the poster there were two babies. Are there not two babies on the poster of this
Mikey.
Movie? Yeah, one is Mikey,
Mikey
and one is the
other baby.
No, but in the poster,
and one's
they're
Damon
babies.
Wayans. So here you go.
Oh. So Mikey. But go on to, no, there's another version of this poster. Go on to Amazon.
Can I ask you a question? Will you keep that up for 1 second?
See, those two babies.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for, and I've seen that poster before. I was waiting for another baby to arrive for most of the movie.
Maybe, was the poster, can you open up Look Who's Talking 1? I wonder if that left-hand image was the picture from Look Who's Talking 1.
No. From the first one, it's a bald baby.
Got it.
Very
okay.
similar to, like, those commercials.
Okay, so can we go... Sorry. If we go back to the other... Now...
They're different babies, by the way.
This
if you're
is
looking
a
at
very... For me, this was a real question mark, which was... And I don't have kids. And you guys do. Is the baby picture...
Oh, shit. We gotta go.
Is the baby picture there... What's that?
we got to go.
Go
is
back
the baby
to the
pictured over there, the Roseanne Barr baby, a newborn?
A newborn?
No. That's a like, that's a baby.
How much time passes in this movie?
A year, because the baby's walking by the end.
The baby is walking, but
a
like,
full year.
Do they break up for a year?
I mean, he's gone for a long. He's gone for
arguably like one of the most important developmental times of this baby's life.
I also just want to, just to put one more drop on this poster discussion, I think that the issue that's confusing, June, is that in the poster that we're looking at with the two baby heads, he has black hair, and one, he has blonde hair,
well,
and in real life,
he looks like he has frosted tips in the left there.
Yeah. So I think it's just they wanted to, the symmetry of two dark-haired babies.
I see. I just, he's not a baby, he's talking in full sentences.
But Roseanne Barr's is not a baby. I mean, she's not a baby.
Mikey's back, and should he, what is
it
he
says,
said?
Mikey's back and about to face his greatest challenge, his new baby sister. Just
wow.
One of the taglines of that movie.
This movie, I still have a million notes.
How about when the babies find a crack pipe?
Love it.
And then you think that that's going to lead to a different conversation, but it's just like, no, we just have to stop playing outside. We need to go to like a gym. And one of their biggest fights is about the gym.
Yeah.
And John Travolta doesn't want them to go to a play gym?
Well, I think the fight you're referencing is when Kirstie Alley tries to turn the TV off because she wants Mikey to go to bed.
Right.
And because he's got gym class in the morning.
Okay, got
it. So she wants him to get a good night's sleep before gym class.
In that scene, you're telling me, in this movie, they have access to all of this great music. John Lennon, George Harrison, the Beatles, all of this Elvis, expensive music. They're watching a cartoon that is, I'm going to say, from the teens.
Oh,
and it is like
it looks like it might be a racist cartoon
it's about people who've been electrocuted in the electric chair and they're ghosts, right? That's what it is, right? And I was like, this kid shouldn't be watching this anyway. Why didn't you buy a better cartoon with some of your John Lennon money?
Well,
yeah, it's
I'm,
like bedtime or not bedtime. He should not be. We should turn this off.
Yes.
Well, I'm more disturbed by the section in the movie where the babies just watch real commercials.
Yes.
And then we're watching real commercials. There's no take on a commercial. It's like, here are three commercials that are of the time.
Yes.
Enjoy them.
Like, they are like, it's a G.I. Joe commercial.
A wrestling, like, slammer.
Like, yeah. And I was like, this is wild product placement in a way that is shameless and bizarre.
They're just airing three commercials.
Yes.
I mean, that's it.
It's not even just product placement. It's just like, here are the commercials in the middle of the movie.
The kids dislike it, and then they go, they want to get...
Uh-oh.
But yeah, no, yeah. This is
I need a Cobra Hammerhead.
Hey, I want a Cobra Hammerhead.
It's for boys. Jeez. Hey, Priscilla.
Hi.
Okay,
what?
They love Elvis. But yeah, so, I mean, I'm not positive that John Travolta in this movie sings an Elvis song in part of the soundtrack. Am I right on that? Yeah.
Now listen, I loved watching him dance through the kids' gym. I loved it. I loved it, I loved it, I loved it. I love watching him dance. I didn't know why he was doing it. It was baffling. I don't know what compelled him to start dancing. Why, at this point in his journey of not seeing his kids and like not having, it wasn't even shared custody. Like he seemed to see them every once in a while. Why he would be dancing through the kids' gym?
He has a breakdown when he's sitting on the
full
park
breakdown.
Bench. His kids are disgustingly dirty. He's not used a wet wipe on either one of them. And if you were to see this man...
I liked in that scene, and maybe I just missed it, but I liked that they had obviously eaten chocolate ice cream and it was all over them, but neither of them had ice cream.
Right.
So it had happened enough in the past that the The cones and the so forth had been discarded, but he didn't clean them up at all.
I have questions about the child gym.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right, so the child gym, you can go in many different directions here. It's a comedy movie. Like, what are you going to do? All right, we'll put Gilbert Godfrey in it. Interesting choice. No one, I think, gave Gilbert Godfrey a script.
Oh, no.
They're like, let him go. It will be funny. And I like Gilbert Godfrey. No offense to Gilbert Godfrey, but it makes the movie insane.
Insane.
It takes a movie that's already insane and goes, guess what? The world we're living in is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Because
that scene, I'm like, maybe this takes place in an alternate universe in which this is allowed.
Where he is literally...
The crazy thing about it, too, is that the parents are all standing just by the wall watching.
Yeah.
Just witnessing this mania.
While he's just barking at them like freestyle Gilbert Godfrey lines.
Here's a little bit.
It's very stupid. I think I'm going to have a heart attack or something. It's very, you see, at this age, you have a tendency to have a heart attack. You see, you can do that. You just go up and down, but eventually, you have a heart attack.
He now, keeps here's on telling them to breathe because a lot of people die in here from heart attacks.
Here's the
it's
thing.
It's a child's gym.
Here's the thing.
If you're a parent against the wall and you hear the guy say, a lot of people die in here, guess what? Place isn't going to be around much longer.
But what's so crazy about it is this behavior and him running around showing kids how to use the tunnels or whatever would make sense if the kids were not playing just fine on their own. Like, all of these kids are doing great.
Having a great time.
They are doing what they should be doing in this space.
Yes. Gilbert Godfrey. Looking up girls' skirts.
I mean, they're...
He's behaving like... I guess my question is, what does he want from them? Like, in his...
Yeah.
What is his idea?
When he goes home, I would have loved, more than anything, if we had followed his character home. What? And his wife is like, how was work today? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it.
To me, I feel like he also is a Travis Bickle character who goes home and is sitting there because you hear him also have like these things like, Jews and Italians dance in circles. Like, oh, hey, man, let's not bring that into the gymboree.
This movie.
Like, Jews and Italians? We're just saying that to children?
This movie is basically about adorable little kids and adults who shouldn't be allowed near kids at all. Like, there are legitimately four characters in this movie who shouldn't be allowed near any of these children.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, the end shot of, I guess the story is Mikey comes to terms with his little sister, and, like, it finishes his grieving process of being an only child. But the last shot, when it's
saying that you give this movie so much
a lot more credit than it deserves, I know. But the last shot of the two of them walking away together, hand in hand, like, into a cornfield.
While everyone else is eating.
Yeah, nobody notices them. I was like, go. Yeah. Keep on going.
Get out of here.
Just keep on walking.
You're better
off
I will
out
tell
there.
You, as a parent, we can probably ask these people, you never take your eyes off your children for that long. They're like corn. They're eating like barbecue,
That's the second time. Mikey almost gets away with the sister in the crack pipe scene.
Their house is on fire, guys.
Whoa. That was nuts. When Stuart... By the way, successfully gets the burglar out of the apartment. He should be like,
done.
Great, I did it. I got the guy out of here and he didn't take anything. Nope, gotta chase this guy down.
What did he want to do with him?
He's left two children in the apartment alone. Then a fire starts. This whole sequence, and then at the end, he's a hero? The friend, not Annie Potts, is like, isn't he terrific? Stuart, we should get married. You should go to jail.
Yeah.
I also think the people who make this movie should go to jail as they put little babies in the middle of a fire. Like, they are in the middle. I mean, I know it was probably safe, but still, there's a lot of fire in that apartment.
My favorite part of this movie, and for those of you listening to the podcast, you don't know, we played the trailer for the Ladybugs, Twin Peaks Ladybugs adaptation. There was another one of those for me in this movie. Paul, will you scroll forward just a little bit? I think. Oh, I might be wrong. Maybe it's backwards. It's backwards, I think. It's when Mikey has a fantasy sequence about what would happen in a world they go to FAO Schwartz, and if he had to be in charge of his sister, okay? Does everybody know? I really want to find it because I have real questions. No, it's.
I'm going to find it.
Yeah. So in this sequence, you know, they're like, that's going to be your little sister. Okay. So can you back up even just? Oh yes. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I think we're good. Okay.
Okay, that feels pretty good. So here
now
we go in the. Not in the nose.
He's now the dad. This. Okay. Now here we go. Get ready to pause, Paul. Get ready. No. Keep going. Just into. Ready. Hold on. Da-da-da-da-da. Just give it a second. Okay, pause. Who's the girl?
June.
Who is the girl in the scene? Is he married in the fantasy?
He is married.
He's married to a little girl? What's going on? What is this? Okay, I want someone to cut a trailer for this movie. A movie in which two babies raise a baby. Honestly, I'm not kidding. Give me your baby.
And following in his father's footsteps, a baby that's not his.
Yes. Yes, that is the legacy of this family. This is a wild shot.
I want to see the movie, though, not about this. I want to see the movie about Baby Thug, which is a baby in a full...
We could just play this whole thing, and this is just great.
Oh. Hey, punk, get your own toy. All right, that's it. I'll rip your lungs out. Give it to me. Hey, what are you smiling at? I guess you never messed with anybody's big brother before, huh? Give me it. Oh, there you go. Take that. There you go, baby. Yeah, you can put it back in your mouth.
This is a world in which these two babies exist in the adult world alone. And adults are walking by the streets of New York like, totally cool that that two-year-old with a newborn, so I'm going to just like let it happen. And this baby punk is causing trouble?
Can I also posit the thing that I find the most disturbing about this? In his fantasy sequence, he doesn't have the power of speech.
Yes.
He still has to be telepathic.
Yes.
So that's odd to me. Like, why not in this fantasy he can be like, hey,
Also, where's his wife? Where's his wife in this scene? What happened to Mikey's wife? She's only in the FAO Schwartz scene.
But I don't even understand what this sequence, like, why does his mind go there?
Because she says, you're going to be her big brother. Something like, you're going to have to, like, step up and help take care of her. And he's like, I think I can do that.
But that's not his sister. That baby is a different baby.
Yes. That's not the Roseanne Barr baby. That's
yes, that's his fantasy of who the... Because the sister's still in the womb, right?
No, the sister's out. Because he was just testing the milk, right?
Now I'm like, is the sister his wife in this fantasy?
Wait, will you go back? I think maybe the...
Oh, you're right. The baby's not out yet.
She hasn't been born yet. I think Kirstie Alley has said, when your sister comes, you're going to have to be a big brother. You're going to have to blah, blah, blah. And then he has this fantasy sequence where he is a single father at... Who's at two raising a newborn in the fucking hard streets of New York City. They're in fucking Times Square. There's a baby warrior there. Who the fuck? By the way, put
baby
some fucking
warriors.
Put some bottles on that kid's fingers. Come on, you're blowing it, movie.
Baby warriors, come out and play.
Wait. That sequence is wild. The other thing that occurs to me that I don't know if you guys thought about is how hard must it have been to shoot these scenes with these kids? These
Nightmare.
Kids are so young and would be impossible to get to do stuff.
They can't even get the babies not to move their mouth. They're talking more than Mr. Ed. Look.
That's why I think there were a lot of scenes, honestly, that were written just based on what they happened to do in
agree.
The scenes.
Yeah. Like when he says, here, what are you smiling at? It's because they couldn't get that kid to not smile.
Right.
I gotta tell you, I was so excited to get Masterclass as a sponsor because I am a big proponent of Masterclass. What is Masterclass? Okay, picture this. Imagine going to school and learning how to cook from Gordon Ramsay or how to take photos from Annie Leibovitz, okay? That's what Masterclass does. You want to take a filmmaking class with Martin Scorsese? You can. It's basically video podcasts that are put in a teaching environment. So you can learn comedy with Steve Martin and writing with Aaron Sorkin. It's the best online classes taught by your favorite people. I've used it in many different ways. I've used the Shonda Rhimes one to learn how she pitches. The class is shot with the cinematic production quality and offers on-demand lessons loaded with exclusive content that you can only find on Masterclass. I always compare it to this. You know, whenever you're interested in something, whether it's like writing a novel or writing a script or doing stand-up, there are certain things that everyone else isn't interested in. It's like the inside baseball sort of stuff. It's stuff that you want to know, but, you know, Vanity Fair's not going to ask that in a profile. So you get to hear these people talk about their craft in a way that you don't get to hear it anywhere else. They have 35 masters on there, including Malcolm Gladwell and Ron Howard and even astronaut Chris Hadfield. You can even learn how to play basketball in this fucking thing. Anyway, new classes are always being added. Whether you're pursuing your passion or developing your career, you'll find Masterclass for you. It's been featured in New York Times, Vanity Fair, and ESPN. Like I said, I'm in the middle of Martin Scorsese's class right now, and I love it. Steve Martin's class was perfection. I just am constantly intrigued. I mean, I'm even learning poker from this guy on there, too. It's great. You can have it on the phone. I love the app. So check it out. How Did This Get Made listeners can unlock access to every Masterclass for a year right now if you just go to masterclass.com/bonkers. That's masterclass.com/bonkers. You'll gain unlimited access to 35 world-class masters for one low annual price. Now, let me tell you this. I described it as a podcast before, and it kind of is. You just get to listen to these people. They wash over you. You don't have to be in front of your computer. You can be listening to it when you're out. You put it on your headphones. It's so good. That's masterclass.com/bonkers for unlimited access to Masterclass. Learn from the best in the world at masterclass.com/bonkers.
Can I talk about my other favorite baby? It's in this scene where they run up against Stoner Surfer Baby. So, here we go.
Get over on your side.
Oh. What, are you afraid you're gonna get recognized?
Bitchin' wheels.
Yeah, it is, except I gotta ride besides her.
Here, buzz off.
Get your finger out of my eye. You got a sister?
Uh-uh.
So much the better for you. Your mom tells them to be good. They don't. They just poke you in the eye. Worse, they suck. Hey, man, try and stay with me, all right, when I'm talking to you? What I'm saying...
Is that baby... What's wrong with that baby?
The baby's
inner monologue is,
Dude, that baby's smoking that weed from Denver, baby. That baby's like, mile high, bro. Burr, burr, burr.
I mean, that means that the inner monologue baby is high, super baked.
Yes, I mean, but you're right. That was a perfect illustration of Mikey clearly talking, but not matching what Bruce Willis is saying in any way.
I have a couple of random thoughts. I'm going to come out to the audience in a second.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to say, you know what they say? It's better to be up in the air when it's pouring than down on the ground. What?
Who says that?
I don't think that's
true.
I'd like to hear the attribution for that quote.
I'd like to... point you to many people who've died in a plane accident in small planes who tell you it's not great to fly when it's bad weather up there. That was said so matter-of-factly that it didn't seem like if it was sarcastic, it didn't seem like it was trying to be sarcastic. And I also had one other small thought, which was when they are in that round robin of accounting, one of the things that they say is, he's a teacher, and he has a 6-bedroom apartment. I don't think that's happening. Yeah.
I think he's trying to say the teacher's trying to claim his desk and his chair as rooms.
Oh, I thought he was saying...
No, he was trying to claim the square footage of his desk and chair as like a business expense.
This is part of the movie.
This is a lot to do with the movie.
After we've already delved deep into the failed restaurant called Eat Me Raw,
And shame on them for not getting. She goes, it's quixotic. It's not. It's fucking pornographic.
And he was like, I don't know what it is, but I don't do it.
Wait, now I'm wondering, are Kirstie Alley's parents also accountants?
Yes.
Yes. That's what I mean by saying I think this might be an alternate universe where everyone in New York City is an accountant or a cab driver slash private pilot. Or a single father baby.
Why don't they ever encourage John Travolta to become an accountant?
I genuinely think they seem to think John Travolta's a straight up moron.
Dummy?
They are actively encouraging her to leave him.
But seriously, if their brother could go through, what do you have to get, a CPA or what is it called? To become an accountant, John Travolta can't?
Nope. No, I agree. I guess not is what, it's pretty bizarre.
I mean.
Okay, here's my other last question about the family accounting. Why do they go to her parents to do their yearly income tax?
Oh, I know the answer to this. Because her parents are so anal. They're like, when you do your taxes, we got to double check them. Because John Travolta says, and your parents always have to check our taxes. Like, because I feel like they're afraid that she's going to make a mistake.
Wow.
And I would argue one small difference. She does work for the IRS. So I don't think that she's like a
she
CPA.
Does.
Yes. The building that she's in, that corporation is the IRS.
Right, but I don't think
she's still an accountant.
She doesn't work there, does she?
I think she does work there.
Oh,
but
she
does. That couple who has Eat Me Raw, what are they coming to her to discuss?
Who's the guy? Who's
their
the
deductibles.
Guy?
Deductibles is Eat Me Raw.
So, but had they already filed their...
Yes, I think they may have cheated on their taxes.
Are they being audited?
Yes.
I don't know.
I shouldn't need to know this stuff. These are questions that this movie shouldn't force me to ask.
It's so confusing because the scene opens with a crazy overhead shot of a non-busy office and then cuts to a close-up of a man staring into a water cooler going, what? What's the story? I'm like, wait, what is going on? Like, geez Louise.
Can you find briefly the sequence where Kirstie Alley's like, well, if we're going to get daddy back, we're going to have to get to work. And then there is a shot-for-shot matching sexy scene where Kirstie Alley gets all sexed up, but then the baby does too?
I didn't like that.
I had real problems with that. Also, give me that baby. Hey, where did the baby go? Fuck, that baby left? Was it something I said? Was the baby not into the show? Oh no, the baby has left the building. Fuck that
baby.
Sorry, baby. That's the puffy shirt.
Here we go.
Okay, this is a wild scene.
I don't get it. Am I losing it?
Still got it, baby.
Oh man, Julie. If we're gonna get your daddy back, we're gonna have to do some serious packaging. Are you with me, kid?
Yeah, let's dress up for daddy.
When I have a brand new one.
Sexy.
The first thing that she puts on is a giant, antler ear bow.
No.
Which makes you go, did the child pick that out? Or is that her first go-to to being sexy?
Also, June, may I ask, what is that? When I saw this, I was like, what is that?
Listen, there are a lot of headband scarf pieces in this movie that I really love.
Yeah, but what is this, that one?
I couldn't begin
it
to
describe
it.
It does look as if it's meant to be antlers.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Hairdo with my eyelashes all in curl. I float
what?
As a cloud.
Okay, she sprays her chest with perfume.
She sprays her boobs with perfume. Now this next shot, that is chilling. This right here is illegal. For us to be looking at this, we should all be arrested.
The baby also sprays her chest with perfume.
That should, this shot should be like the director and DP should be put on a watch list.
Yes. But honestly, we need to get this off your computer, Paul.
I've been a girl.
Oh.
I flip when a fella sends me flowers. I drool over dresses made of lace. I talk on the telephone.
Who's she talking to on the phone?
By the way, just again to show you, like, how this movie misses the mark. This is like the easiest sequence to do in a movie. It's like, it's the dress, it's the montage of getting dressed, and it's weirdly paced, and the jokes don't really hit. It's like, it's as if someone decided they'd make it a montage after, as if it was a longer scene.
And that's why they're like, well, we've got a picture of her with a phone, put it in, who cares? Yeah. Will you just go until the stockings?
So okay. She puts on stockings.
Iconic stockings, pulling a woman's leg, pulling up her one of her stockings. Okay, go ahead.
A female, and my future I hope will be in the home of brave and free.
What? What? That was a baby with a garter belt. That baby had a baby garter belt on. Someone in wardrobe had to make that baby garter belt. They had a breakdown of all the stuff they need, and they were like, it says in the script the baby's wearing a garter belt. Is that real, or was that a joke? No, that's real. I want you to make a baby garter belt.
And then they go, the movie made $300 million. We know what the fuck we're talking about.
And it's for what? It's for a sexy montage. That the baby is in? Oh, yeah.
All right, let me go out to the crowd here. I want to see what you guys have to say about Look Who's Talking. And, you know, obviously this is a sequel. The kids talk in this one, and the next one the animals talk. When you tell me your name, I want you to tell me the next object or thing that could talk in a potential sequel. So you come here. Anything that could talk. Here we go. Your name and the thing that could talk and your question.
My name is Betsy. I'm trying to think of another inanimate object that could talk, because the toilet already talks.
But that's good. All toilets talking. That's a good. Because that's a hallucination. That's a hallucination. That's not real.
That's not
real. So toilets will take.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the toilet.
Great.
Great. So I just want to talk about the daydream that Kirstie Alley has when she sees him in the convertible.
Yeah. Her 1930s fantasy of his life.
Yeah. And then also, like, they end that part with, let's go eat some pork.
Great question.
Well, remember in the 80s, you used to use pork for fucking. You'd be like, did you guys pork?
Sir, your name, your inanimate object, your question.
My name is Austin. I would say an inanimate object would be any neon sign being able to talk.
Right.
And apparently, when a woman is pregnant and or going into labor, she has the forces, the mutant forces of Storm, and also the voice of Zool. If we noticed whenever she's talking to her boss, and also the other woman across the desk is like, she's in labor, she's fine. Let's keep on working on Eat Me Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does have a demon voice in that scene. Yeah.
I will say that made me laugh. Let me go back here. All right, here you go. Your name, your inanimate object, and your question.
I'm Kristen, and I think microphones by themselves, so you couldn't tell if it was you or the microphone.
Oh, interesting. Okay, great.
And then I just have a question about the egg and sperm at the beginning. Like, is that every egg and sperm, every sperm rapes an egg? Is that their view of human sexuality? Or sorry, part two. Or is it just this egg and sperm, and that's how you make Roseanne Barr?
Nailed it. Nailed it.
I also didn't know, to that person's point, I didn't know that that was a diaphragm for a long time that all the sperm were hitting. Also, I didn't like that John Travolta was the voice of all the sperm. Also, I thought it was weird that every once in a while you would hear Travolta's internal monologue. Like, you would hear his thoughts. That was also strange.
Well, the diaphragm also had Kirstie Alley's voice.
Yes. Yes. Well, I think that was the egg. Oh, and the, yeah, I guess they were, I don't know.
The diaphragm was like, you can't get in here.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, what is the success rate of diaphragms?
Yeah. I'd love stats on that. I'd love diaphragm stats.
Like, I am up in the balcony right now.
Be careful. Paul, be careful.
Be careful, Paul.
Seriously.
With a very well-behaved group of balcony monsters. I'm trying to catch my breath from those flights of stairs. And sir, your name, if you have an inanimate object, great. And your question.
My name is Matt. I guess my inanimate object would be their cars.
Great.
I was just wondering if anybody noticed that Julie's first steps were the soundtrack was the TriStar Pictures logo.
Yes. So weird. Ba 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 ba. Yeah, it was like I was like, are they promoting the studio within like subtle studio marketing? Because they were like, well, we did that talking bit over the front card. So we got to
I think they ran out of money. They're like, we spent all that money on the Beastie Boys and George Harrison. We got to reuse stuff. Okay, your name, your inanimate object, your question.
Okay, my name is Faith. I think the inanimate object would be the basket, so we can figure out what it's for. And so when Kirstie Alley has the baby, John Travolta passes out, right? And you see like a split second of it and he's not bleeding or anything. But then the immediate next scene, he walks in with the older baby and he has a single layer of gauze wrapped around his head, which he's not bleeding, so I don't think he would need it. And if he had a concussion, that's not how you treat a concussion. So what the fuck was up with that?
In this version of New York, the hospitals don't know what they're doing either because it's all accountants. Everybody in there is an accountant.
I have to say, Denver has the best questions. This has been a real tricky time when we're on the road. You guys are hitting it out of the park.
Agreed.
Wow.
Agreed.
Wow, Paul.
High praise.
Paul, I'm not going to lie. You're going to have some real problems when you go to the balconies in Chicago and New York next time.
They're great. I'm just saying, pound for pound, the questions here are great. Here we go. Your name, your object, your question.
My name is Chelsea, and I want the Freddy Krueger, like, red thing that comes out of...
The cuckoo clock, yeah.
Yeah. And then I have to continue with her point. The whole C-section scene, no general anesthesia, Kirstie Alley is awake, the husband's in the room, the blood rag gets thrown on the floor...
It was the late 80s.
It was the late 80s where every room in a hospital had a blood rag on the floor.
I mean, most women are still awake for C-sections. I was not given the option to go away. I would have taken it.
Did you keep any of your blood rags?
Oh, yeah. We have a baby book that's just filled with blood rags.
Just like squish.
Yep.
Squish. Squish. And this is so cute. Remember, this is when you were born. This was the blood rag. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. My mom keeps showing my girlfriend my old blood rags.
Ma'am, your name, your question.
I'm Brittany. I think people in paintings would talk in the next one. My question is about, at the end of the movie in the fire, there's like this beautiful script on a cardboard box that says newspapers for recycling. So I'm just curious, do they have a cardboard box beautifully scripted for every item that needs to be recycled?
At that point in time, I think only newspapers are being recycled. Yeah. And also, Olympia Dukakis later is wearing a t-shirt that says recycle on it. So like, there's a real message hidden in this movie.
It's like, that's when like the 80s had like like celebrities got really involved and stuff.
Paul, will you do me a favor and just make sure and ask the dad of the baby when he's raising his hand for a question. I just want to make sure he gets it.
All right, I will get it.
And then I have a question for him.
All right. Sir, your name, your question, I will say this. I normally pick people. You stood up, you approached. That's normally a sign it's going to go badly. But, Denver, you've been running it pretty good so far. So here you go. The pressure's on. Your name, your object, your question. Go.
My name is Nick. The object would be the airplane. I'd like to see Triple to have a full-on relationship with his airplane. We've already discussed how, like, low-rank Christopher Maloney was waving a gun around every time he could. But the guy who broke into the apartment was breaking, like, Muppet Steak Manhattan style with, like, cutting the window and getting in. Did they have the Hope Diamond in that apartment?
By the way, first of all, I like that your reference for a high-stakes heist is Muppet Steak Manhattan for two reasons. Number one, the more appropriate one would be the Great Muppet Caper, but number two... Like, there's a million other ones that show high-stake heist. I take Ocean's 8.
Any of the Pink Panther movies?
But that is a good question. You earned your stripes. Okay. Yes, that was an odd choice that he had, like, a cutter, like a circular cutter.
I mean, what were they after? The doll's heads?
What? Door baskets?
I'm here with the dad of the baby. Thank you for coming and bringing your baby. I think that, you know, as a parent, you guys got out of the house. And I think that's a great thing. Your name, your inanimate object, and your question.
My name is Josh. I think maybe the sequel would be John Travolta becomes a conductor, and then his talking train is Thomas the Train.
Amazing. Right up my alley. I know exactly where you're at. Okay, go ahead.
So I think y'all were hitting on it with the fetish and the potty scene, and I was just wondering if wardrobe was in on it. Because...
Okay, so he's showing me a picture of Mikey in a shirt that says scat.
Really?
But yes. Everyone in the balcony, you guys see that? Mikey's polo shirt says scat, S-K-A-T.
Oh, S-K-A-T. But still, I would almost be like, did Germans make this movie?
No, it'd be like, scat shirts, they're the shit.
Yeah. Not bad. All right. So just quick question. Where'd your baby go?
Yeah.
She went to sleep? Boo.
Maybe it's time for dad to switch out with mom back there. She's been gone for a while.
And the dad is switching out. Good dad. He stayed, he got his question. Bring that mama back in here.
Wait, bring the baby back and also give it to me.
All right, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, and in the beginning of the movie, John Travolta was trying to have sex with Kirstie Alley. And she says, "You won't be having any fun if I'm sleeping." And he says, "That's never stopped us before."
And then they both laugh.
Laugh.
But which then brings us to his sperm coming in hot to that egg. Case in point, there we go. Wow. I wanted to bring up this point in the movie when the best friend comes in. She goes, "Oh, can I stay here tonight? Anyway, my apartment was robbed." It's like, wait, you are leading with the wrong thing. Like, wouldn't you be like, "Oh my God, my apartment was robbed. Can I stay here?" Like,
do you think it was the same burglar?
Yes.
It definitely was, Jason.
That just occurred to me that this is that guy is like knocking off apartments.
And honestly, I think that guy, whoever that was just after her. Like, what are the chances he would go after the friend?
Oh, so you're saying that he's not interested in robbing Kirstie Alley and John Travolta. He's there because he's stalking not Annie Potts.
I think it's possible.
Yeah. I like that. I don't like it, but as a theory, it tracks. That movie would be a harrowing tale for her. Because at the end, she gets married to Stuart, who is basically a murderer. He's basically like an insane accountant.
But yeah. You know what? Love is blind. Now it's time for second opinions.
Hey, I watch a movie today. Some think it's awful, others think it's great. Well, if you hate it, I have news for you. Amazon will give you a second review for this movie. Who's look who's talking to second opinion.
Woo! Give it up for Jay.
You can go right down there.
There were so many great second opinions. If you want to hear more, just stay tuned after the show, but we only had to pick one. All right, here they are. These are five-star reviews culled from Amazon, and you will be surprised at what they say. This is written by Dr. Bob, and he writes, simply, I use this movie for my intro to human development class. 5 stars.
Wow, I wonder in what capacity.
I think the beginning? And then we follow that up with Nana Bo writes this. My son's health teacher wanted to use the beginning of this for her reproductive health discussion. How fun. I'm sure the class will pay attention. She asked for a parent to donate or loan the movie for this purpose, but I bought her the set just for fun. Creative teachers need to be rewarded. 5 stars. And what she's talking about is, this is reviews from a 3-movie set. You can get one DVD with all 3 films.
This movie has so much inappropriate content for kids.
Yeah.
That teacher should be fired.
Oh, 100%. This one is written by Yippie Hippie. And it goes, I guess I was about 5 when this movie came out. I loved it then, and I still love it now. Actually, I like it more now, because now I understand the jokes. For example, I didn't get the whole sperm egg thing when I was little. I thought they were just tadpoles. I like this one more than the first one, and the third one's lame. The only reason this movie seems to be getting bad reviews is because those people reviewing it don't like Gilbert Gottfried. If you don't like the actors in the movie, then yeah, it's gonna annoy you. 5 stars. And then finally, from Linda Corp, she writes this. The good old days when movies were good. 5 stars. All right, so I have some interesting facts. We talked about the first movie making $300 million. Anyone want to guess what this movie made? Well, you don't have to guess. We'll guess up here at the microphones.
I don't know. $40 million?
Okay.
I know. I know.
Okay. $47 million. Took a nice hit from the $300 million.
What was the budget?
Still made a lot of money.
47, yeah. It's pretty good, I guess. We don't know what the budget was, though.
Oh.
The budget? The entire movie takes place in that horrible apartment. What could it possibly have been?
They spent $30 million on baskets, baby heads, and neon.
It did come out in 1990. It came in 24th out of all the movies that year. The top 3 movies in 1990 were Home Alone, Ghost, Dances with Wolves. The movie was beaten by nothing that we've done on the show, but it beat Ernest Goes to Jail and Jacob's Ladder.
Wow. And this movie made more money than Jacob's Ladder. That's wild. That's a real scenario there.
And this is what I want to kind of show you. Do you guys think that this movie is believable, like realistic? All right, the audience says no. Here's John Travolta talking about his connection to this film.
I can remember my mom's girlfriend saying, I see you, oh, I see you. And I was thinking, she is so dumb. Why is she talking to me like a baby?
So John Travolta is hypothesizing that he was Mikey. And then he continues right here.
Toilet training, I remember really well. Okay. That was an upset. Suddenly there was this huge toilet. And you could only sit on the edge of it. And you had to sort of hold yourself up in the back.
Oh, man, I was devastated.
Wait, Megan.
Okay, wait a second. Whoa. We should have started with this and have just talked about this clip for the entire podcast. There's no way he remembers potty training.
No. He remembers his mother's friend making goo goo gaga faces at him and him going, she's an idiot.
Yeah.
And then he remembers toilet training and being afraid of the big toilet. It's a
sign. Oh. Fuckingtology.
Is that part of Scientology that you can remember toilet training?
Oh,
past lives.
Oh, wow.
Got it. Oof, Magoof. That's some wild stuff right there. Like, if you're the person on the other side of that interview, are you like, whoa, what? Are you sure you want to say that?
By the way, shame on every journalist in Hollywood for not asking these fucking Scientologists some more questions. Couple follow-ups on what the fuck is going on.
June, do you want to ask your question that you've been asking online? Where someone is?
Where is Shelley Miscavige? Where is she?
Do you think she's wherever Scribbles is? And Rivka?
I have another person that can join Shelley, Rivka, and Scribbles. This is a person who, well, I'll show you the half of the first trailer. This is the first trailer of Look Who's Talking To. Okay, take a look.
Oh, no!
Could you expect? Tinkerbell?
And his life will never be the same.
Boy, I gotta think about getting my own place.
John Travolta.
Don't hit girls, even if they're asking for it.
What do you say about pushing them?
Kirstie Alley.
Mikey, no, don't do that.
What'd I do?
And the voices of Bruce Willis.
Yeah, right back at you, babe. Mm.
Roseanne Barr.
What a slime ball.
Hey.
And Richard Pryor as Mikey's best friend.
Oh, I heard that song before, pal.
What a crack up.
Look who's...
So, Richard...
I've got a lot of questions after that.
Where's Mikey?
Richard Pryor, I guess, recorded a lot of voices and then stopped. They said he got sick, but I also believe that it was maybe a day of recording. I could see Richard Pryor going, no, I'm out. No, thank you.
Also, that's a different baby.
That's not Mikey.
Yeah, this is a trailer before they were even in production.
Oh.
Or I guess they were just starting
production.
Are
those clips from the first movie of
Mikey? I guess. This is the first Look Who's Talking To trailer with Richard Pryor in it. And he was
so
in the
Mikey
movie.
So Mikey from the first movie is not Mikey from the second movie?
Correct.
Wow.
And then Mikey from the third movie goes back to looking like Mikey from the first movie.
Richard Pryor's dialogue for this movie could not have taken more than an hour. That kid has four lines.
If they got that, the session is over.
We got it.
Yeah.
They can.
Wow.
Yeah, so Richard Pryor in Look Who's Talking To. Also another notable person who did not return, the end teaser trailer, I guess at the end of Look Who's Talking 1, was a new baby comes out, and it was Joan Rivers. And she was like, I have scheduling conflicts. Again, 2 hours. All she needed to do is find herself in a recording studio for 2 hours. She's like, no, check please.
Wow.
So there
I would
go.
Like to, I would honestly read... like a 700-page oral history of these movies. I would like these people to have to answer for the crimes that they've committed.
But can we agree that Bruce Willis does a great job as Mikey?
I don't know. If I'm being honest, I don't know if we can agree.
Jason, would you recommend this movie?
Boy, I mean, maybe? Yeah, kind of.
Really?
If you're going to listen to this episode...
It's only 81 minutes. It's not even a full hour and a half.
I would say you should, like, fast forward throughout. There's a lot of montages that are weird. I would say don't watch this movie. It is, for me, a horror movie. But, in the context of what we're doing here, which is, I don't even know what you're doing here... losing our minds for the last 7 years? Like, yeah, why not watch it? I mean, this is what you're up to.
You're listening to the podcast. Watch the movie. I mean, this is your fucking life, dum-dum.
June, what do you feel?
I mean, I guess in that context, yeah, sure, watch it.
I agree. I think this is one of those movies that is bizarre and weird. It's not like on the level of being like so bad it's good, but it's so bizarre that it's interesting. And at 81 minutes, it's one of those movies that I look at and go, thank you. Thank you, movie gods, for not pushing this out for 2 hours. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Anybody want to plug anything? Anyone want to plug anything? We can plug just for life now and then worry about the podcast later.
I'd like to plug Leah Remini's show, Scientology, The Aftermath. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And they're all complicit, so just do it that way you will.
Even Olympia Dukakis.
Is she a Scientologist?
No, but she's complicit because she didn't ask questions.
No, I mean, at this point, I don't think anyone knew anything, but now they all know what's going on.
Jason?
They all know what's going on. Guys, watch it. Just watch it. You thought you knew about Scientology, it's much worse.
Jason?
I want to plug the new Deaf Heaven record, which is fantastic. And I also would like to give a shout out to a great graphic novel called The Case of the Missing Men, which everybody should pick up. That's Ooh, it.
Interesting. I will point people in the direction of this movie, Slice, that I am in, that is coming out, soon. I say it not because it's not coming out, but the way it might come out might surprise you. So be on the lookout for
it's
Slice.
It's under your chair right now.
But
this
it has.
Guy just looked. It is. The guy in the front row is like.
It's Chance the Rapper and Zazie Beetz and Chris Parnell and Joe Keery from Stranger Things and me. And it's weird and it's fun. And check it out. And also, if you're not listening to Unspooled, the podcast that I do where we talk about good movies, thank you guys for listening. It's great. We have great guests. Great guests on the show.
Guests?
What?
Are you
we have
still,
great guests on the show.
Are you still booking guests?
It's you know what? I think we are booked up for a bit.
Are you still? You're still doing that podcast? Huh?
Yeah, we have 100 movies. It's a mini series, but I don't think we're able to fit you in on this round. But the it's cool.
Wait, so June, you have not been on Unspooled?
I haven't been asked.
Huh?
Well,
interesting.
Like, I mean, like, you know, look, and I'm sure like you guys look. You guys be great guests. I just don't want to, you know, it's just sort of like we've already booked it.
So wait, so, what's the setup of the show? What do you do?
Oh, so we watch movies and we talk about them.
Oh,
yes. But they're good.
Oh, wait a minute. So, but June and I, we've had experience doing that.
Some would say I feel like it's kind of like the expected choice.
So, but just so I'm crystal clear, when you watch those movies, you're enjoying them because those are like some
having
classics.
The best time. Never saw Taxi Driver until just the other night. Loved it.
Are you able to? I have a follow-up question.
Yeah, sure.
Are you mad at us that you won't let us watch good movies?
Oh, you know what? No, I don't even want to. You know, it's funny you even say mad at you guys because I was talking about the relationship that I'm having with this host, Amy Nicholson. We have such a great time.
Wow.
We get it. Fun. Really casual. Really late.
June? Wow. June, wow, I am here for you.
Listen, thank you, Jason. I guess, did you ever consider us as guests? Because I know you're booked for the
and
rest
sorry,
of the season.
And sorry, we're out of time. That was a great show. Really fantastic show. I want to say thank you, Paramount Theater. Thank you, High Plains Comedy Festival. And right now, if you are hearing our voices, a big thank you to Mike Henderson, who is recording this, who gave up his date night tonight to be here to make sure that you're hearing it. Mike, in the booth. Thank you, Mike.
Mike,
thank you, staff.
I do want to say, Mike, I just got a text from your partner. It just says, you dumped.
And thank you to everybody here in Denver for coming out. We can't thank you enough. You guys listening to the show, traveling to be here, means so much to us. And now it's time for Second Opinions.
Jason and June and Paul, they all have thoughts about movies. But some folks on the internet say they feel differently I would never say virtuosity is no good man what gives. I don't agree with you. I loved Highlander too. Gooby rules, Sky Captain lives. These are second opinions. Post it up on Amazon. All they wanted is to rate these films. 5-star second opinions.
Give it up for Seth. There you go, right there. And now it's time for second opinions.
Well, I just finished hearing Jason, Paul, and Jude's review of the film, Look Who's Talking To. I disagreed with them, so I think that I'll go on Amazon and write a second opinion. Opinion. Whoa. Whoa. Yeah, yeah, second opinion.
And now it's time for second opinions.
When one-star reviews are not enough to satisfy, we go on Amazon to see who gives it five. We call them second opinions, reviews that are really whack. You say you love this movie and give praise that you can't take back.
Amazing Harry Potter song.
Well done.
Give it up for Eve and Chelsea. There you guys go. Eve and Chelsea. There you go.
Well done. Well done. Yes, well done. What houses are you guys in?
Well, they were so
Ravenclaw. Both? Hufflepuff, get out of here.
There is only one show on TV that's completely flipped the script on television comedy. It's the most buzzed about and critically acclaimed show on TV. It's The Good Place, and they are forking killing it, okay? They are back with a one-hour premiere. Holy shirtballs, I'm so excited for this. I love The Good Place. If you're not watching The Good Place, you are missing out on one of the funniest comedies on TV. It's created by Mike Schur, who wrote on The Office, created Parks and Rec. He has an amazing cast with people that are new and hilarious and just a pleasure to watch. It's like Lost as a comedy show. It's like Defending Your Life as a network series. It's the funniest, it's the smartest series on TV. And now you can watch the third season premiere, which is a one-hour premiere of the TV's most dangerous comedy, The Good Place, followed by a two-hour SUV premiere event Thursday, September 27th at 8, 7 Central on NBC. And if you've never watched The Good Place, get caught up right now on Netflix. It's on Netflix and it is great. You will not be disappointed. I think I've recommended it on this show. Plus, Jason's in it too. And you never know who might show up this season. Who knows? Is that a teaser? Who knows?
Well, folks, it is National Coming Out Month. Let's just stretch it out to the whole month. What do you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should know about our podcast. I'm Dave Holmes.
I'm Matt McConkie.
We host Homophilia.
Right here at Earwolf.
Uh-huh. It's a queer comedy party where we grill queer celebrities on what they're loving and who they're loving.
We have in-depth, eye-opening, and hilarious conversations about everything from our guests' pop culture obsessions to their personal experiences with dating and sex and love.
Mm-hmm. You get to know a deeper, a more personal side of your favorite queer people, like John Lovett from Pod Save America,
yes.
Margaret Cho, Rhea Butcher, John Early.
John Early was here.
Trixie Mattel. I mean, we have had...
People were all guests on our show.
I know.
Are you kidding? Dan Savage was a guest on our show.
Dan freaking remember Savage. That? Do you remember when Brian Moylan told us the story? I mean, I'm not even going to get into the story right now. But listen, Brian Moylan tells a story that'll curl your damn hair. Episodes are released every single Friday just in time for your gay weekend.
Guys, listen and subscribe to Homophilia now on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen.